Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone together. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrews.
Hello, my sister.
Shalom, shalom. Hallelujah. Long ago, Pastor used to have a radio show, a shortwave radio show. And it's not AM, it's not FM, it's shortwave. And his greeting would go something like this, but I'm going to throw my name in there. Shalom, this is Sister Ashley. We're coming to you today from Lafayette, Tennessee, located 60 miles northeast of the city of Nashville. We bless all of you today in all things in the sweet, precious, victorious, and mighty overcoming name of our soon-coming King, Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. Something along those lines, Mother Jennifer. But I heard enough of his broadcast to always go along with his greeting and say it with him. Hallelujah. It came to my mind tonight. Bless y'all, Sister Ashley here. I'm in Tennessee. I have a live audience. Say shalom.
Shalom.
Thank you for your energy. Thanks for the honor of coming and attending tonight. Bless you. Bless you for listening. Everyone gathered around your phones or your computers, thank y'all so much. I hope you can hear. Give us some sound checks. Mother Jennifer in Georgia, let us hear your voice.
Blessings to you, Shalom, Sister Ashley, and blessings to all the daughters of Zion. Blessings to the live audience that's there. My name is Mother Jennifer, and it's great to be here with you all for another episode of Sister to Sister. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule, and thank you for listening and learning with us. I pray you can hear me. I can hear you very well, Sister Ashley, and if all things are well on your end, we can move on.
Hallelujah. Very well. Thank you, all my tens. Bless y'all, bless y'all, bless y'all. To those of you who await fifth day, right, Amanda?
Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah. And Nadia and everyone else who, you know, looks forward to that early, can I say early weekend or just early Sabbath prep, really. Bless y'all to all my communities and all my community heads and wives and women who support them. Bless y'all to everyone who sacrificed your life for Jesus Christ. Tonight I give all glory and honor to the Father for the Ruach and the Spirit that leads me, that corrects me, chastens me, and honestly never leaves me. I thank him so much for the gathering. Hallelujah. I thank him for the blood of the Lamb, for without it, hallelujah, I would be nothing. I thank him for my husband and for my shepherd who have both together worked together simultaneously, really, to teach me a lot of things, how to study, how to receive correction, how to keep my house, how to maintain care for my body, how to listen, how to ignore even, how to fear righteously and how to give victory, you know, how to love when I'm rejected. Pastor has laid hands on me to heal trauma wounds, stop headaches, to heal my kidneys, all in the name of Jesus, to heal my womb and open my uterus, cursed chemicals and hormones causing weight gain, lots of impactful moments in my life from my shepherd and as well as my husband, who is also very active in praying for my body and his house and his family. I'm thankful for the women, the few women that have taught me tenderness, faith, holding on, never looking back, and to love past all hurts. I want to thank the Most High Yah for every woman in my life, for every child in my life, and for giving me a heart sometimes feels bigger than my chest, really. I thank him for the love that I am able to give and receive, and patiently await his return. Hallelujah. Tonight, we have a good dialogue, I hope. Hallelujah, that through your observation of this ministry and through your hearkening of the examples that you may have in your life, I pray that you too are taught many, many things. Right now, you may be in the chair just learning and absorbing, but the time will come that you will also share and help and pull someone out of the fire and overcome, have testimonies. You never stop learning. You never stop your humility of listening. But the time will come. Things will shift and somebody will rely on you. Hallelujah. Brother Jennifer, thanks for always being here and always being available. And special shout out to Elder Rufus's home and everyone there in Georgia. Thank you all for your sacrifice. Bless you, Mother Jennifer. Share your heart.
Hallelujah. I'd like to thank the Most High, acknowledge him for his mercy, his grace, and his compassion for allowing me to see myself when it's easy to look at everyone else, easy to point the finger at everyone else. I'm so thankful for his mercy, just really waking me up every day and allowing me to really reflect on me and my heart so that I can get things right the way that I need to and be the example that I need to be. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for the patience and the love and the support that he gives to his family here, his direct family and his family at Straightway Georgia, his family of those who live abroad, to those he takes the time out to actually counsel. Everything he does to just help lighten the load of our shepherd, Pastor Dow. It's an awesome privilege to belong to him. It's a privilege to know who I am because he knows who he is, and he consistently drills it in me, my identity and my purpose for being here. And I'm happy to know that my purpose is to serve him and to serve Yah. And finally, I want to acknowledge our shepherd, Pastor Dow, for the example that he has set forth. I've watched so much work go on, not only this week, but I'd say even within the year, all the building, all the projects that have gone on, everything that the brothers are putting their hands to, they are truly being blessed. And without the example of being able to watch a shepherd, being able to hear a shepherd, I know that we would not be where we are now. So blessings to you, Pastor. Blessings to your entire family. Thank you so much for the messages that you put out there, the videos that you put out there for us. Thank you for sharing your heart. Thank you for allowing us to see your heart. And thank you for the desire that you have in you for Israel to get it right. So blessings to Pastor and to his family and to all the saints at Straightway Georgia, every single one. You know, there's been a lot going on the last couple of weeks, and everyone has truly pulled together, and we're just getting a lot done, and I'm so thankful. And that's all I have, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Yes, so thankful. I hope you all are very, very thankful, too. I hope, you know, I really enjoyed the message. It goes in one of my favorites, never forgotten, over kind of messages, and I know all of us have those, you know, whether no matter what or who, what teacher is delivering it or what pastor is delivering, I know we have our favorites and the ones we love and the playlist that we make, and I really appreciated last Shabbat, very uplifting. Hey, 4 days until the Feast of Trumpets, 13 days to Atonement, and about 18, 19 till Sukkot, less than 20 days until the Feast of Tabernacles. Sister Adrian Love from Mississippi says, hey, to my sisters who have sought to receive the Holy Spirit and have not received it yet, don't give up. Don't allow Satan to steal your joy or rob you of intimate times with Yah. Yah is merciful. He wants to give good things to his children. Every new day is another day to seek after him. If you are feeling unworthy, like I was, be worthy and walk a life that's worthy of him. Be ye holy as he is holy. Hallelujah. All right. We got a Facebook page Sister A is doing for us. It's called Sis to Sis, S-I-S-2-S-I-S, all right? That's the number two. I hope I'm saying that right. So, hallelujah. No possibility to have any friends, hallelujah. We want it that way. People can only follow our page. We follow. You know, if we didn't speak the same thing as the leaders, men, our husbands, if we didn't represent them, no one would listen. No one would hear. We wouldn't be doing this show anyway. But all we're doing is just coming behind and supporting and then maybe even articulating the things that are said from a woman's perspective. But we enjoy our conversations on this night. It is a reasonable service to give our love to each of you, and I pray that it's received with, you know, willing ears. What else? Let's see. I think last week I did a pretty good job just announcing all the things that may be going down. Y'all know we got a fish fry. Mom Margaret, I'm going to call you. I got to get with Mother on changing up your date. Maybe we'll go for the 27th. That's what I'm going to ask her for, and we'll see what she says. Fish fry, hallelujah. Hey, children's activities. This is a quick announcement. For ages 2 to 5, if you have children that are ages 2 to 5, and you will be participating in the children's activities this year, they will have a snack, and they will have popsicle and chips. So if you'd rather your child not have the popsicle or the chips, if they're on any kind of restrictions, any kind of allergies or special diet, please bring or pack a snack for your child so that you don't run into any difficulties with them not getting something that is provided. So ages 2 to 5 will have a snack. If your child is 6 years old and older, snack will not be provided, so please be prepared to feed your child each of those days of the children's activities. Lots of cool things going on, from, I don't know, tug of war to possible obstacle courses and parachutes and just cool stuff. So ages 11 to 15 girls, okay? 11 to 15 girls only, if they want to learn or attend the crochet class, bring a 6.5 needle and bring some yarn that is either Red Heart or Caron. Am I saying that right? C-A-R-O-N. Okay, so that's ages 11 to 15 girls. That'll help some of y'all to be prepared, right, and to have what you need. As far as any other children's activity announcements or questions, there will be Diane, I think Sister Tomah might help her. They'll be at a table ready to answer and communicate with you guys when you get here. So we look forward to seeing y'all. I'm excited about the activities for the children. Marshayla will be doing special things for the children's supplies on the store day. If you have a child that is selling, I think she's the best one to go to. What I mean by selling, we have a young daughter that is a phenomenal drawer, and she's going to be drawing this year. She's coming from the West Coast. She's here year after year after year. If you've never been here, don't sell on your first trip. Don't do that, okay? Be here for many other reasons except for selling. And then that children's store will be great for your child to go spend some quarters or some dollars on the things that he or she may like, to just put the money right back in Israel. So lots of things going on the 23rd. Bless you to everyone who communicated. We do have an overflow list. We do have people who have not been approved to come here. If that list gets approved, you will be contacted. All right. If you haven't called, if you haven't put your name in, you can call for the overflow list, okay? Not sure how that's going to be handled, but that's what we're looking at right now. You capped it, and we have an overflow list. It's small, but it's there. Any announcements, Mother Jennifer?
I just wanted to remind everybody about the Be a Blessing list. Check it out on YouTube. And if you have items that you are bringing from the Be a Blessing list, contact the dining hall and let Straightway know what you're bringing so they can keep track of everything. Sister Ashley?
Yes, thank you. That does help us. And we're still in need of the items. I'm going to ask Granny Diane, can women come to the class, to the crochet class? Someone in the chat room is even interested in learning how to crochet, and I'm sure there's more of you. So I'll lean to Granny Diane for that. She is running the children's activities this year. So good question. Yes, you can call us. What we do is we just mark down the inventory that you're going to send, and we keep it in a running log so that we can tally everything. If we receive something that's not in the book, we count it anyway. So we just have our own little rhythm. Special thanks to Sister Carolina, who does a large majority of the Be a Blessing. I know Sister Vicky and Sister Sarah have helped her as well. So their team is greatly appreciated at this time of year. I want to read a couple of emails tonight. That's what I'm going to do. It's been a while. Reach into the emails, pull them up, and tackle them. Mother Jennifer, anything else to share before we move forward in conversation?
I have nothing else to share. Let's go for it. I'm ready.
Hallelujah. Hey, I hope that we're all able to relate. You know, we're all women, all things common. You know, if you live communally, then you know that all things are common. The challenges, the war, the battle, the flesh, the thoughts, it's all common. It's all about humbling yourself into the unity and the one mind and spirit of Yah. All right, so this particular email is about receiving the Holy Spirit. Shalom, family. Thank you, Sister Ashley, for asking me to share my testimony. We spoke today on the phone, by the way, little FYI fun fact, and I asked her to give this this brief, detailed email to me, like send what she said to me, send it to me so I can read it to y'all. She said, I wasn't expecting that, and it was humbling, definitely nervous, so blessings to you all. So what did I think about the Holy Spirit prior to receiving it? Well, prior to receiving the Holy Spirit, I thought of him like having it would be as if living for the first time. I felt that the Holy Spirit was the most precious and priceless gift Yah could give us outside his son, Jesus, the Messiah. And you have to be tip-top perfect in everything in order to receive him. That's what she thought. So what was the environment like when you received? Well, the environment was filled with expectation from the sisters that were there to help me. It was filled with love, joy, and praise. I can hear the sisters praising and praying along with me and encouraging me and thanking Yah for what he was getting ready to do. There was no doubt in my mind, no fear, just hunger. And eventually it felt like no one else was in the room but me and Yah. Hallelujah. what's it like having the Holy Spirit, sister? She says, well, I feel alive and freer than I've ever felt. I feel more at peace, and I look forward to the future with a more positive mind. I'm learning to get out of my own way and to receive Yah's love and can see it in ways that I've never seen before now. I am His, and He is mine.
Hallelujah.
Let's hit that shofar, Chef, for another one sealed, written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah.
Blessed be
Yah's holy Hey, if you don't have it, ask for it. All right, seek Him, and you shall find. All right, so there was another brief dialogue her and I had, kind of like a change of topic in conversation on the phone today, and it was about being stagnant. And when she used that word and said that she had been stagnant, I said, "What was that like?" I personally cannot ever remember a time in my entire faith life journey that I was ever stagnant. So that means I need someone else to represent that, to reach and connect with someone who's struggling with it, right? And so she says, Tabernacles 2019, I was going through deliverance and two sisters were working with me. All I could pay attention to, I want y'all to listen, okay? Because for a moment here, Mother Jennifer, I want you to talk about being a deliverance worker, okay? So after I make these statements, I'm going to jump to Mother Jennifer as a deliverance worker so her experience can talk to y'all. This woman says, I was going through deliverance and two sisters were working with me. All I could pay attention to was someone taking their fingers and running up and down my spine and ending up at the back of my head. I could not focus on the battling inside my mind, and I was distracted from being set free. That was different from my first deliverance. Pause. Let's talk just a moment, Mother Jennifer, as a deliverance helper, how important it is not to distract the young mind of someone battling to get free. Go ahead.
Sister Ashley, I remember that was one of the very first things that I learned when I came into the faith and I was being trained to be a deliverance worker. I remember, I think it was yourself and Mother Carol training me. And the very first thing that you said is that you don't want to be a distraction to anyone who's seeking deliverance. If you're doing things that are distracting to them, you know, whether it's talking extremely loud or, you know, just anything that could be distracting to the person in their mind or anything, then you're going to be a hindrance for them getting deliverance. And this is why it's important to stick to the basic things that you have been taught. This is why we have to be taught, and we can't assume that we already know. So, for example, when Pastor Dow does deliverance, he follows the same format every time. He don't, you know, he doesn't make up these fancy tactics or things like that. If we follow the shepherd and we follow what he teaches us every single time, you're not going to hinder someone else with distractions. So I know a lot of times people get excited by maybe some things that you've learned, and maybe the things that you've learned are things that are actually right, and maybe they are not. Maybe they're error. But it's always good to run that past someone who is experienced, and don't just assume that what you're doing is correct, because you're going to hinder someone else if you cause them to be distracted. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. She said she couldn't focus on battling in her mind. She was distracted from being set free. Now, we know that when you're loaded with spirits, you're easily distracted. So we're not taken away from the issues that she has, but you definitely don't, for example, you don't get too loud, you don't whisper so close to their ear that you're breathing on them, you don't squeeze them so tight, twist their body or limbs in any sort of way. And for those who've never participated in deliverance, which is a large majority of those who may be listening tonight, hey, bear with us, endure us, Christ did it, we do it, okay? And it says it was different from her first deliverance. And so deliverance, for the most part, should always be very consistent and the same. We should strive to have the same representation as Mother even used Pastor Dow, for example. So we want to have the same representation. And so what might happen is too many people doing their own way and their own thing, and it really confuses. So in a deliverance situation, when someone's coming to you for help, it is about that person. It's not you getting too loud. It's not you drawing attention. It's not you commanding, as my husband says, commanding with your insecurity, right? Because it is with your insecurity that you'll get louder and louder and louder because the devil will hear you, right? To show the devil how insecure you are, my husband says. So just keep that in mind as a new deliverance worker. It's really about them. It's not about you at all. And I've said, hey, Nadia's shadowing me a lot. Nadia's bugging me. Right, Nadia? Yes. She said, yes, ma'am. She constantly wanted to be involved. I haven't forgotten my other small list of three sisters who want to be there, too. I've never forgotten y'all. So time always permits to get them in there. But when you're able to do a deliverance with someone who's done it before, then you can take it, keep that same mind, and keep that confidence and move on as your own worker. But please, 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 tapping on someone's mind, tapping on their ear and head, tapping on their neck, tapping going up their spine, that is distracting to anyone. You know, now you don't want to, you can't teach someone to have an unction of the Holy Spirit. That just comes by him, you know. But don't forget that the word says lay hands suddenly on no man. So he's just walking up to some deliverance and just laying hands and commanding out, right? You want to make sure that is a gentle presence from the Creator, the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach inside you, leading you to do those things. So gently hold their arm. You don't have to be fearful of a manifestation and be squeezing them so tight that now they can't fight in their mind, you know, getting no blood flow to their extremities. So she goes back and says, I remember one of the sisters saying that I had not done the needed work, that I needed to cry out to Yah, pray, and study. Pause for another second. When someone's coming for deliverance and y'all hear us say it on the show, like, okay, maybe you're not ready. Maybe you need to change your mind. I get that question a lot. How do you know you're ready for deliverance? And this is what's interesting, because as soon as we say that you need to make sure you're ready, then here comes the devil. I'm not ready. And now he says, I'm not ready, 9 times out of 10. Right? Because we introduce the other side of things. That's how he works. No, get the deliverance. Right? But remember how precious someone's spirit is when they're in that seat. If you have ever been tormented, if you have ever been lonely, fearful, abandoned, you know, all the things that have happened to someone's flesh that they're coming for help for, they're broken, wounded, right? Very tender branch. You're not just going to come out the box with, you haven't done the work, you need to go back, you need to pray, you need to go study, you need to cry out to Yah, sis, where's your books, how have you, you know? Like, don't come across, Mother Jennifer, help me out.
Yes, don't tell the person that they're not ready because you're tired of battling and you think that, you know, the spirit is not budging and so you're tired and you've got something else to do and you don't want to sit there and help your sister fight anymore. Don't just say you're not ready for that reason. If someone is truly not ready, there's typically a series of questions that I'm going to ask to get to the root of what we actually need to deal with. They may think they're coming for one thing, but it actually may be something else. And they just may need to take a couple minutes to close their eyes and just really get with the Father and repent, and then we can move on, you know. So really figure out what the root is instead of sending someone away saying you're not ready. Help them to discern and to figure it out, but don't let it be because you don't want to spiritually battle with them. Sister Ashley?
Very good, and you gave a very discreet answer in your dialogue there, Mother Jennifer. You said that you asked them questions, And there is discretion in asking questions to someone that you're helping with deliverance. So by asking the right questions, you're going to get them to understand that they're not ready. You're not going to come with the hammer that they're not ready. They need to cry out. They need to pray and study. And I'm just coming off of my sister's letter here. This could be far from what happened to her. I'm just giving y'all some extremes that can happen. So you want to give the person hope. You know, you want to give them, hey, we might not have got it today, but let's hit this together. Let me find this. I'll look for this. You look for that. We'll be back here next Sabbath. You know, or whatever kind of hopeful, you know, let me know. I'll check in on you, you know. And then there is those circumstances where, sis, you ain't ready. Like, you're repeating this same willful, stubborn, right? But 9 times out of 10, that ain't the situation. That's not how you got to be for one another. And 9 times out of 10, you're not the one to be saying it anyway. You know, you need to stay humble and don't come to slay someone with your words. There's just nothing attractive about a woman who does that so easily. All right, so here comes the next part. She says, I have been crying out to Yah for months and praying about my struggles and my issues. I was confused and felt defeated and unworthy and closed off. And this is interesting because it's like, well, to the women that helped her, did they have any clue how they left her abandoned and the struggle that she had to go through to try to, you know, continue to understand, to fight for answers, to love them? Because when you come and you're new, man, you believe 100% of everything you hear from everybody. And it's very detrimental because you end up hearing a lot of bogus stuff. So she says, Satan stepped in and began his work. I did not want to attempt to go through deliverance again. I did not want to seek after the Holy Spirit. Didn't even as much try. Wow. See, remember, we're talking about being stagnant, right? I allowed Satan to run amok in my mind for a year and a half. Wow. Telling me I'm not worthy, you're nothing, everything he could do to keep my mouth closed. I want to help, but not bad enough to speak up to my master or my sisters. All I could hear in my mind was how unworthy I was, and no one had time for me. I would still be stuck where I am. I allowed Satan to speak louder than what Yah was working in my life. But my master had told me that if I was to be selfish for anything, be selfish about my soul salvation and fight for it. Hallelujah. That's guidance right there. He continuously spoke life over me and encouraged me and prayed over me, hearing the sermons each Shabbat and the encouraging videos from the sisters and testimonies of the goodness of Yah gave me hope. It helped me to hold on. Ain't that what it's about? Holding on. Dead season of 2020 was painful. Acknowledging the things I've done and said in my life and repenting to my Heavenly Father and my family. I began to dig deeper and prepare myself for Passover. Pentecost came. I was getting close to time to leave, and I reached out to Mother Jennifer, and I told her the things that I've been dealing with. That was the best and sweetest ass-whooping I've ever had. It was so simple yet weighty, the wisdom that she had shared. She told me things I didn't even think of in my situation. It made me think of my master and my family, how selfish and inconsiderate I was inside for not speaking up so soon or up sooner. It motivated and encouraged me to do better. We went through deliverance, and I felt like I could smile again. I hope this helps another sister. I have a long way to go, but I'm grateful for Yah's love and mercy for keeping me this far. I thank Yah for blessing me with deliverance, His grace and His mercy every day, for His Holy Spirit. I want to thank my master for being patient, praying for me through all this and loving me. I want to thank Pastor and his household and all the leadership, Elder Rufus, his household, Mama Jaja, Sister Denise, Sister Hadassah, Straightway Georgia, all of the Straightway Ministries. Yah is good. Hallelujah. Love you all. Can we say Yah is good?
Yah is good.
Yah is good.
Yes, yes. Anything to add to that, Mother Jennifer?
I just wanted to say, you know, one tactic of the enemy is he will always, you know, there's always somebody that can help you, but he's going to convince you that that person is too busy. You know, they're too busy, they don't have time for you, or they're somehow you're rejected by this person. So you have to overcome that. You know, you really do. And I tell a lot of the daughters of Zion that that's what we're here for. Sister Ashley is here to help you all. I am here to help you all. We're never too busy. It may take us some time to get back to you, but we're never too busy at all to help you. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Yes, I remember a sister telling me that she literally would hear a voice, do not talk to Ashley. And then if I even came near, I didn't even know it. She was new. I had no clue. I don't know what the devil's saying. He's saying it to you. Think about that when the devil's communicating to you. You're the only one in the room hearing it. You know? And I would come by and the devil would say, don't look at her. Here she comes. Don't look at her. And I mean, had her literally run in all kinds of sorts of different directions. Don't talk to Ashley, you know? And it's not just Ashley, it's any and many of us, you know? And it's crazy what's going on in the minds in the middle of service, Shabbat service, praise service, right? Because we're coming to expose sin. Christ's spirit is coming to expose sin. So this is the kind of stuff that happens. Hallelujah. It's the beginnings of freedom. You probably never in your life paid any attention to a battle or a war in your mind, ever. You just gave yourself wholeheartedly over to it. You know, you didn't fight it or oppose it. So welcome to the war, all right? Hallelujah. Hey, so we got another one. This is questions that I actually ask a sister to formulate based off a small conversation that we had. I said, hey, type those questions up. Give me more. Because she made one statement that told me, hey, this will really edify a lot of people. Let's talk about it. So we'll see how it goes. Question number one, how do I know if I've sacrificed my will completely? Okay? Guess what? The number uno question, the most asked question of my entire faith, drum roll. Okay. All right. I've got one of those buttons that, like, stops all the noise.
Right.
It's live. It's going and going. How do I know if I've sacrificed my will? That's the question. That's the most number uno. How do I give up my will? How do I sacrifice my will? Do you get deliverance when your will is involved? My will. Ah, I got an easy answer. When you have no more voices of opposition in the tongue of your mind. That is when you sacrifice your will. You have no more voices of opposition in the tongue of your mind. Now, that kind of answer really separates the women from the girls, don't it? Because 99.9999 is going to have no idea how to produce that. Okay? So, you got some sacrificing of your will, because I've been there, I've done that, I understand how there's no more voices of opposition in the tongue of my mind. Me, I do, I get it. So, I can answer that way. Ms. Jennifer, add to it.
You know, Sister Ashley, when we talk about the will, I think the thing that really sticks out the most is a couple of months ago we had a broadcast where we talked about the will. And how important it is when you're looking at the Word and the Most High is giving you His Word. And, you know, like, let this mind be in you. And you ran down so many. And He's asking you to turn your will over, you know, to allow Him, to let Him. He's not going to supersede your will at all. You have to turn it over. You have to be willing to read His Word and actually believe it for yourself. We believe it for everyone else, but we don't believe it for ourselves. Sister Ashley?
Very good. Question number, it's funny, she put 1A. Let's say you truly want to give all and completely sacrifice your will. What are some things that can hinder you? Well, the first thing that comes to my mind, and I just got this. Let me see. Does this have the time on it? Does this have the time? It had to have been, 3:28 p.m. today. Okay, I got this at 3:28 p.m. today. Briefly ran through it and was like, yes, this is it. So let's just go live and see. All right, so the question is, let's say you truly want to give all and completely sacrifice your will. What are some things that can hinder you? First thought is your appetites, your desires, and your lusts. Okay? What's going to keep you from giving all and completely sacrificing your will, your appetites, your desires, your lusts? When you think about lust, Paul said, I exercise myself to have always a conscience that's void of offense. Okay? And that right there shows you the mind that can engage into exercise, right? The same way you would put tennis shoes on, the same way you would put what are some of the things you put on to lift weights and exercise, right? All the things that you do to engage into exercise. He says, I exercise myself to have always a consciousness that's void of offense towards the Most High and towards man. So you're mentally wanting to rid yourself of appetites, desires, and lusts that are keeping you from the Father's will or your husband's will or whatever will is being presented in your life for that day. So you're exercising it. You're going against it. You're opposing an appetite. You're opposing a desire. You're opposing a lust. Let not sin reign in your mortal body that you would obey the lust thereof. So you have a lust that is driving your mortal body, your flesh, but don't let it reign over you. Exercise a good conscience against it. Put on the mind of the Most High Yah, the Lord Jesus Christ, making no provision for the flesh to fulfill any of the lust in it. Right? And it sounds pretty extreme when you read these. You know, we're women, right? So we go to the extreme, like, okay, starting tomorrow, I'm fasting. You know, and we're gonna crucify this appetite, this desire, this lust, and then 2 weeks later we crash, we ate what we didn't want to eat, we did what we didn't want to do, we said what we didn't want to say, and damn it, we're right back to how do I give all and completely sacrifice my will, right? So it's that engagement, because they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust and everything that comes with it. And how do we do that? Because we all had our conversation in times past and the lust of our flesh. In times past. Fulfilling what? The desires of the flesh. By nature, we were the children of wrath and the children of all sorts of things. Mother Jennifer, talk to us.
And you know, Sister Ashley, a lot of times your flesh will tell you that you have a right. You know, you should be rewarded. You've had a stressful week. You've had a stressful day. You should receive a reward for this. You have a right to be angry about this. You have a right to talk back, you know, to this person about this. You have to really make that flesh shut up, because it starts in your heart and it starts in your mind, to where you think that you have a right to something. And you really have to quiet those voices. You know, like you said, the tongue of your mind, you have to quiet, or the tongue of your flesh, you have to quiet those things before they go any further than that. But a lot of times it starts off with, you know, I have a right to, or it's okay to. And then you get to a point where you're no longer operating in consistency. And then you're out of whack and you're out of balance, and then you end up depressed, and then it's like a trickle effect. And like you said, you start all over because you haven't quieted the flesh that starts in your heart and communicates in your mind. Sister Ashley?
Very, very good. So she said, what does the mindset look like from someone who has sacrificed their will? So pause. Because before you get to someone who has completely, let's say, sacrificed their will and they're just dead to sin wholeheartedly, what does the mindset look like when they're fighting and resisting their will, right? And that is the exercise. That is the engagement and the mind that's made up. That's the mind that doesn't stay down long, you know? That's the mind that, hey, what did Paul say? For we know that the law, right, which is what we're all coming to obey, we're all coming to say, this is my God, this is the law I'm going to follow, this is what I'm going to do, Okay? So when you do that, you're saying the law is spiritual, right? Because it is with my spirit that I am going to obey. Because he says, Paul, I am carnal, and I was sold under sin. And sold under sin means to be sold entirely under the control of the love of sinning. Okay? That's a good understanding, right? So we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, and I'm sold entirely under the control of the love of sinning. So that's why he goes on to say, the thing that I hate, I do. All right? So there's something in the survival mind that says there's going to be an end, right? We want the end. Now, like the end. Where's the end? Where my will is just, it's going to be sacrificed, but it's not going to have it, you know? And what if, do you have the stamina in you to fight and resist your own will continually without giving in? You know, does your spirit or is your spirit stronger than your flesh and your will? Because I'm carnal. Can everybody say I'm carnal?
I'm carnal.
Right, because
carnal.
You are, yes, bound to the laws of the flesh. Now, that's how Paul could also say, I'm going to tell you this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and neither does corruption inherit corruption. Oh, so can you look down? I'm being serious for a second, y'all. Look down at your flesh and really get a good look and say, everybody say it ain't going in.
It ain't going in.
That's
it
amazing,
ain't going
right?
in.
That's amazing. It ain't going in.
Real.
That's real. Because that spirit inside you that's warring, that's fighting, that's engaged, you know, that is what will stand or kneel before eternal judgment. The deeds of your flesh will be judged because you need that atoning blood. Whatever you've yielded your members to, you need that atoning blood. So what does the mindset look like from someone who is willingly fighting and resisting their own will, Mother Jennifer?
They're yielded to the Spirit of Yah. You know, we're told that it's not by power and it's not by might, but it's by the Spirit of Yah. So when you're yielded to the Spirit of Yah, you're not fighting everything in the flesh. You know, you're realizing that the battle is not against flesh and blood. You learn that it's not by power that you're able to fight this. This physical power is not by physical might. It's by the Spirit. And you can tell when people are yielded by the Spirit rather than being yielded to the flesh. You can just tell there's a different temperament about them. Sister Ashley?
Very good, very good. Good dialogue. Anybody have any questions in the audience? Just listening? Just listening. Everybody say yes, ma'am. It's good dialogue. It really is. It keeps you forever humbled, you know, being tied to the flesh. Because our spirits would just soar and float off like balloons. We would think we were, you know, much higher and loftier than we should. So the earth suit keeps you grounded. The oppressor keeps you fighting and resisting. And then in the end, Yah gets the glory because you were willing to love him. Okay? So question number 3 says, third-party offense. I thought this was interesting. Good job, my sister, because I didn't know what that was at all. She said, how can you avoid a third-party offense? I had no clue. I was going to have to send her an email real quick, but she explained it. She says, why do we even allow third-party offenses to happen? So she gave an example. I have a sister that I'm, quote, best friends with. Another sister does something directly offensive to my, quote, best friend, but I get offended as well. Even though the situation had nothing to do with me, I start treating the other sister different as if something was directly said or done to me. All right, Mother Jennifer, third-party offenses, what comes to mind?
What comes to mind is that, you know, we are not put here to, I'm trying to think of the words. We are not here. We're not put here to defend everyone. You know, if someone gets offended and you get offended on behalf of someone else, You know, that is not your role. That's not what the Father created you for. So you may have an ungodly soul tie with that individual that needs to be dealt with. And if you become offended because of something that has happened with your quote-unquote best friend, then, you know, how can you properly give your quote-unquote best friend guidance that she needs? How can it be a fruitful relationship? And so this is why it's important that we stay level in our mind, that we stay very grounded according to the word, so that we can hear matters and we can hear situations, and we can tell if your best friend was right in that situation or if she was wrong. And even if she is right, you have to be able to steer her back to not being offended, because great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So if a relationship is going to be a fruitful one, we cannot allow ourselves to become offended on behalf of someone else, or period. So there may be an ungodly soul tie that needs to be dealt with, but you want that relationship to be fruitful. Sister Ashley?
Well said. And please don't, my sisters, get caught up in the dynamics of how, you know, we start to analyze things and look so deep into things that it's really something simple like this. The Most High said, or Isaiah said, let the Father be your fear. Let the Father be your dread. He will be your sanctuary. And what else is he going to be? A rock of offense. He will be a stone of stumbling to them that stumble at the word. As the word says, if you stumble at the word, you're stumbling over this stone of stumbling, and you're bumping up against this rock of offense, you're being disobedient. All right, so how do we check it out? Offense is going to come over and over and over and over. I know here it's a good example of a third-party offense, but it matters not. It matters not. First party hearing a video, second party friend to friend, third party someone else did something to someone, you know, it doesn't matter. Offense is going to come. Why? Because you must acknowledge your offense over and over again. Hosea said, I will, and he was speaking of the Father, but he said that the Father said, I will go and return to my place. Let me pull this up and see if I can make more sense of it. I thought this was neat, okay? You got to somehow see, sometimes y'all know the old covenant makes you think, because it says here, and I'll explain, but I'm just going to read Hosea 5:14. I will be unto Ephraim as a lion and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will take away and none shall rescue him. Think about that. I'll be as a lion. So I'm going to walk up. I'm going to tear apart. I'm going to take what I want, and then I'm going to leave. Think about that, because then he says, I will go and return to my place, this is our Father, until they acknowledge their offense, and until they seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. He knows you. He created you. In your affliction, you'll seek me. So you're going to be afflicted over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. As a lion, I'm going to come to you, I'm going to tear you, and I'm going to walk away and go back to my place, and you will seek me. Get it? And so no matter how the offense came, it's for your acknowledgement. Really. It's not to the dynamics of, oh, man, what did she say, and what should I have said, and what spirit is this, and, you know, all that stuff that can come with the package. It's just, I'm going to the Father to acknowledge my sin. I'm going to seek his face. This is all I know about it, y'all. This is all I know. All I know is my wrong. And these are the things that no one else even has to know. Right? And so let's jump to the next one. Let's jump to the next one. You ready, Mother Jennifer?
I am. Can I add one more thing?
Yes.
I just want to say that, you know, as a friend or as a sister, I have to be very careful with how I present things. If I'm speaking to Bonnie or Auntie about something that has happened, I can't speak from my emotion, you know, of what has happened, what someone has done to me, what someone has said to me. I can't speak based on my emotion because I don't want them to be challenged. So those are just some things that you have to consider. Sister Ashley?
Very good, because you introduced a maturity there that is the goal overall, because that's a lonely place to walk with the Father. And so the occurrences that happen to you, the circumstances that surround you, you do have to choose how you present that. And you are held accountable for how you present and share those things to those who may be weaker, right? And so I know there are times that, you know, based on someone's question, I'm going to talk from Ashley, for example, because I really don't know any other way to talk but to be very honest and raw. Like, that's just always been me. And so if I'm talking to someone and they ask me a question, I will often have a answer formulated in my mind that I know could even further their offense. So I can't speak it that way. I need to present it in a different way. I need to, let's say, use an example of something. I like to use examples. So if I use an example of something that has happened that's going to further their offense, then I'll choose not to say it. And so what does that even mean? I'm just supporting Mother's statement that depending on who's in your presence and who you're talking to, as you learn those who labor amongst you, it is very wise not to say the wrong things. It's discreet, okay? It's not cunning or subtle. It's just simply using wisdom. And so you want to, you know, have that governor over your mouth that says, hey, Ms. Jennifer's telling you, I got two sisters I share my life with, right? And I know that I cannot speak for my emotions because of their love, right, or their soul tie. She's not going to throw them out there to even put that temptation of offense, you know? And so that's why. That's when you can take all your burdens to the Father. And you'll get there, my sisters. All right. Number four, why is it that correction is more likely to be received coming from Mother Carol, Mother Jennifer, or Sister Ashley, than any other sister, she's a, quote, regular sister, or even our own husbands? I can go different directions. I'll let you open that up. Go ahead.
That's actually a very good question. Respecter of persons, which is a very dangerous place to be, especially when you listen to another woman over your husband. That is a very dangerous place to be. And I think people need to get out of their minds, you know, who it's coming from. You have to step back and you have to ask yourself, is what they're saying true? This is one of the first things that we learned from Pastor Dow when we first came to the ministry. I remember my mother, my natural mother, was she had written a letter to Elder Rufus, and she had talked about her displeasure in, you know, some things that we had decided to do regarding the faith and regarding our lives and the path that we had chosen. And I remember Pastor saying, you know, don't worry about who it's coming from. Look at the letter and look at what's being said and ask yourself, is anything in there true? And if it is, change it. And to me, that changed my whole perspective. So it doesn't matter who it's coming from. You have to ask yourself, is it true? But people are driven these days by, you know, they respect certain individuals, but not other individuals. And that's a very dangerous place to be, especially if you're listening to another woman or another man or anyone over your own husband. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. All right, so number one, respect the persons. Remember that. So why is correction more likely to be received from Mother Carol, Mother Jennifer, Sister Ashley? She says respect the persons. Yes. Okay, let's go to a different one. Number two, do I only hear from Mother Carol, Mother Jennifer, and Sister Ashley and accuse others of being that way? Right? Am I doing the thing that I believe others are doing when really it's generated in my own mind? See, that's how discernment can get really played, because you believe you're discerning that women are only hearing us three when really you are. Okay, that's one aspect. Let's go to number three. Age and experience alone is going to grant some women honor, because you gain love by the love you give. You gain respect by giving respect. You yield yourself as servants to obey Christ. So you're going to be respected and honored. You're going to be listened to. You're going to be greatly disrespected and judged too, criticized and all that. But age and experience is going to allow you to have others listen to you. So if you're, you know, not ready yet and still on the teat, you don't need to have the attention you're seeking. You don't need the audience that you're seeking. You would destroy, you know. So there was a time, oh my gosh, y'all, I was young, thought I knew everything, knew nothing, knew a little something, sounded good, and wondered why nobody listened. And here y'all come around going, why are people listening to Sister Ashley and not me? It's the same cycle. I'm like, I get it now. Because others have to see your love and your sincerity. They have to see your life lining up. And like Mother Jennifer says, you should have that Holy Spirit conviction inside of you to hear truth from anywhere. You really should. But if you're struggling to hear somebody, think about their character and how much that conflicts with your hearing. And then when somebody's struggling to hear you, think about your character and how you're conflicting with them. You know, so you gotta be able to really give love in a good balance, you know. You gotta give respect and give honor. There's just a lot of requirements as the person that is given correction. And you know, Erica spoke it last week on the show, you know, not going compelled in your flesh to talk to somebody and correct them, but really going in the spirit of love. And you'll notice if you go in the spirit of love and meekness, you'll almost every time be heard, really. So hallelujah for that. She did give an example here that said a sister might say, and she even put quotes like same level as me. Maybe they came in at the same time. Maybe they're just striving at the same time, right? So she says same level. Might say, hey, your skirt's too tight. And I get offended, and I start accusing her of being jealous over me. But if Mother Carol comes along and says, hey, your skirt's too tight, then I'm quick to receive it and change it. Why is that, Mother Jennifer?
Again, respect your person. And,
yes.
You know, I think, Sister Ashley, I think a lot of times, I think that some women may have private offenses in their hearts against certain sisters. And so if a correction comes from anybody but that sister, then I'll receive it. But if it comes from that sister, I ain't receiving it because I don't like how she said it. I don't like how she looked at me. I don't like how she walked. Just whatever we think of in this mind. But we have these private offenses against these sisters that we just have not even dealt with or even acknowledged. Sister Ashley.
Very good. So, hey, how do you change that, right? Think like your father thinks and say, what if the Most High Yah is sending me my correction through the person he knows I hate? You know? And that's how you start getting victories because it really is just a you and Yah thing, you know? You don't think Yah knows exactly who you hate and burning your heart against? You don't think he knows your thoughts for the sisters that just eat you? Right? Thorns, man, he sent them. He allowed them, I should say. He's allowing it all so that he may refine you and receive you. Because, hey, flesh and blood is not going to inherit the kingdom. Corruption is not going to inherit corruption. Right? So think like him.
And you're somebody's thorn, too. Remember, you know, you're somebody's thorn too. So you have somebody that's your thorn, that's a thorn to you, but you're somebody's thorn as well.
You should know. Yeah, you should know who your thorns are, and you should know who you're a thorn to. Yes, you should know. And it shouldn't be glorious to be that. It should be one of great, you know, humility and love, wishing that it wasn't so, you know. All right, so she said, my husband may be correcting me on a particular behavior continuously, and I'm just not changing. But if a mother corrects, then it becomes imperative to fix it. I'm going to throw this out there, and then I'll go to you, Mother Jennifer. I don't know if your mind has ever thought it, but let's think it. Are you offended at your husband? You know, sometimes the person that's right in, you know, the foes will be of your own house, right? Sometimes that person that's right there in your life is getting looked over. Like, oh, man, I didn't know that I'm offended at this man. You know, you think about your other relationships and you think about all sorts of things, but have you really focused on how offended you are at what he says, how he moves, what he does, you know, how much it really burns and eats at you and pisses you off? And so, yeah, it's a dishonorable, disrespectful thing, and you definitely need to repent continually for it. But, yeah, Mother Jennifer, please add, because if someone else brings the truth, Pastor said it before, he can say things up one way and down the other sideways, and then as soon as a woman says it, he says, for example, then we change. What is that?
No, Sister Ashley, I think it was good that you talked about a hidden offense against the husband, because there are a lot of women who have hidden offenses against their husbands. And women will see their husband's weaknesses because, you know, you live together. You know the man. You know him. You know his strengths. You know his weaknesses. But instead of really praying for that man and building that man up, you see him as weak and you become offended. And so when it's time for him to correct you, then you're not going to receive it. You know, you see yourself as his equal instead of seeing him as over you, seeing him as your authority, because you can't bear to see his imperfections, which we all have imperfections. So you have become a hypocrite, and you've become offended. You've carried a silent offense against him. That's a possibility. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Well said. Hallelujah. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4 more. Four more questions. Let's take a ministry break. Y'all get some water. Take a deep breath. Hallelujah. I hope you're gaining something. Hey, I hope you're gaining strategy against the enemy that fights for your soul, right? That's, we want to get victory, and I hope every show brings you a little closer to that. Let's hit a music piece or something, Chef. Surprise us. Thank you. All right. So, Mother Jennifer, you there?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. We're back at it. Let's go to the next question for tonight. Thank you to the chat room, by the way, everyone who's participating, giving that thumbs up, and this is good, and hallelujah, helps to reflect, very peaceful. Yes. Okay. Number five. Question number five. Who was keeping up anyway, huh, with the numbers? No, none of us. She said, okay. Why is it that after we overcome something major and then we see another sister struggle in that area, we immediately start judging and criticizing instead of loving and having compassion for them, praying for them, wanting them to have that same freedom and testimony that we have? That's a good one. You know, I'm telling you, my sisters, we have such a huge responsibility with one another, you know, to be helpers and lovers of hospitality and to encourage one along. We have a lot of weight on our shoulders, really, to what we can bear, of course, but to help one another. And I wanted to bring up the spirit of Jezebel, because every mannerism of the old man, every pattern of the old man, every thought of the old man has already been yielded to. So it's often the first thing that the flesh kicks up, because you've already thought it, you've already lived it, you've already been cold, you've already been callous, you've already been careless, you've always been selfish, right? And so that old man is ever present. And so that particular behavior or, you know, judgmentalism, criticizing, those type of things, it's going to surface if you have not completely died out and sacrificed it enough. How do you know? How do you die out? What do you, you fight it long and hard enough and it goes away. And there is no how long, because it's different for everyone. You know, maybe it's the freedom of deliverance continually that you need. Maybe it is continual pushing and opposing that judgmentalism and criticism. But most certainly, it is to put a door and a bar over your mouth. Once you do that, you'll begin to exhibit compassion with your members and your flesh. And then no one needs to know that criticism that's inside you, because you're yielding your members to do better, be better, while you're in opposition to the tongue of your mind. So how do you push them to the same freedom and testimony? I'm going to bring up Jezebel, because Jezebel displays a very critical spirit. And I'm going to read from a book called Destroying the Jezebel Spirit, How to Overcome the Spirit Before It Destroys You. It's by a guy named Bill Vincent. I don't think any book would be as good as if Straightway produced it, honestly, so I always have to throw that out there. Just because I read from a book or promote a book or any of those things on the show, it's definitely not written by the ministry or produced or sold by the ministry. There's no obligation to this man. We don't know him at all, and most of the time, anyone that we're reading from doesn't have half the experience that we live as a working deliverance ministry. So, right here, page 94, Sister Alex. It says, Jezebel displays a critical spirit. Jezebel tries to keep the upper hand by displaying a consistently critical spirit. If anyone has something new, for example, no matter what it is, they will make sure to tell you everything negative they can think about it. If you like something, they criticize it. If you dislike something, they compliment it. It's the opposite. That's what Jezebel does. All I wanted to really bring that up for is because there's patterns in spirits, and there's patterns in your old nature and old behavior that you have to continually crucify. I can't tell you a perfect layout of, you know, I'm not dealing with any of you on an individual basis. We're dealing with however many 50 to hundreds of people that might be listening or listen to this show. So that it's going to be different for each of you. How can you overcome that struggle? It might be deliverance. It might be continually stopping your mouth over and over and over. Don't say it, don't say it, don't say it until that judgmentalism's gone. It might be finding how you are judging and criticizing in other areas to silence it all. You might be warring so hard to defeat judgmentalism and criticism over here towards this sister, but yet towards your husband you're that way, towards your children you're that way, towards listening to the videos you're that way, you know? So it usually manifests in more than one location. And to find it in a very well-rounded plot to fight the devil is going to help you gain the victory. Mother Jennifer, how can we help one another and stop our judgmentalism and criticizing?
You know, you have to ask yourself, have you really been set free? Because, you know, if you have overcome a major obstacle and you find yourself criticizing or judging someone that is struggling with the exact same thing that you've been delivered from, the exact same thing that you have overcome, you've got to ask yourself, are you really free from that? You know, did you really get set free? Have you truly overcome that? Do you really realize what you've been delivered from? And if you have, then you're lacking in love. You know, your love is lacking, because if you truly did love, you would truly want to go and strengthen your sister instead of having a criticizing spirit or a criticizing eye towards her. Once you've truly been set free from something that you've struggled with, something major, and you've been set free, you're going to be so grateful that you're going to want to go and strengthen your sister. It's not going to even matter. It's not going to be in your heart to even criticize her, because you've been in that position before. So ask yourself, have I really truly been set free? And if you believe you have, then you're lacking in love, and you have to exercise greater love. Sister Ashley?
Well said. You know how sometimes we're coming from the word, the living word, but yet we're not quoting scripture and verse. Pastor's always said that, right? Mother Jennifer just did it. She's really speaking 2 Corinthians 10. Having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So you became obedient. You fulfilled your obligations. Now you're ready to revenge all disobedience. You're ready to help your sister. Ready to pull her out of the fire, right? Let's go to Jude. Is it Jude 1:3? Let me see. Y'all bear with me for a second. Jude 1:23. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Imagine each one of us right now in this room or wherever you're at, imagine each one of them igniting in fire and flames. And right beside of you is your sister who is burning on fire. If there was any love in you, you would jump up and go run and grab whatever it took to put the fire out. Having a readiness to revenge all disobedience. So she's needing help. She's burning. She's hurting. Right? She's weak. Another thing Jezebel does, or just the old man hates weakness. We are created to be the weaker vessel, but it hates weakness so much that when any creature or any other weaker vessel manifests weakness, it despises it. Because you've based your whole life and strength off of pride. So why can't she get it together, and why can't she be strong, and why can't she endure? I do. Right? And so anyway, you run and help. You get that bucket of water. You get that blanket. You get that stop, drop, and roll. And you do that every day, helping, helping, helping. And I know somebody really don't mean well. And I know they're giving wholeheartedly over to the enemy. And I know here they go again. They might be lying again. Whatever these circumstances are, you love and you love and you love again. And you love and you love and you love again, because Christ did. Christ did. Hallelujah. Next question. How do we get to a mindset where we aren't constantly criticizing and judging the decisions that shepherd and leadership make? That's a good one. Let me go to the book here. Scan through. Jezebel cannot receive correction. Jezebels are so wounded and insecure that they perceive all correction as more rejection. They avoid rejection at all costs and will attack anyone who they perceive as rejecting them. That really is the main accusation from Satan's kingdom from a woman's heart, that this man, this shepherd, this pastor, this so-called, right, is rejecting me, not accepting me, not loving me, not wanting me, right? That's the accusation, because it is to keep you from avoiding that rejection that's in you. So you perceive that he or them, anybody, is rejecting you. And the only thing you can give them, this is what it says here in the book, the only thing you can give them is a compliment in a soft tone. So that's the only thing. Please don't talk to me any other way, right? Just a compliment in a soft tone. If anything else comes out of their mouth, you are, quote, it says here, abusive. Okay, hold on. Jezebel acts religious. Jezebel dwells in the local church, but they do not respect positions of authority unless they're in them. They are socially conscious but not kingdom conscious. Let's see. There's a few other good points. But Jezebel is insubordinate. Jezebel never takes the side of an employer, for example, or never takes the side of a pastor, never takes the side of a person in authority unless it will temporarily make them look good. They often will take credit for something that they did not do. They have no conscience when an opportunity for recognition presents itself. It's just all about me, me, me. They will not credit or recognize those in authority over them. They are not going to say, he helped me, she helped me, thank you. Because of you, Yah. Because of you in him, Yah. Right? Because you're always going to be constantly criticizing and judging the decisions that they make. The flesh that you walk in, you're actually accusing the leaders and the leadership and the shepherd of walking in the same flesh that you're wholeheartedly or subject to. Mother Jennifer.
And being content in your role where the Father has you. You know, there are times when I look at Elder and I look at the decisions that have to be made. I look at the load that he has on his plate. I look at, you know, his role and things that he has to do, not only as a husband, but, you know, as a leader in Israel. And I just say I'm so happy that the Father created me to be in this role. You know, I'm so content. And so I think if we're all content, then it keeps you from criticizing and judging, you know, the decisions that the shepherd has to make or the leaders have to make or whomever. I'm so happy that I don't have to make those decisions. I'm extremely content with where the Father has me. And if everyone was content in their role, then you wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't have the criticism or the accusations or anything like that. Sister Ashley?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the way that you start to slowly gain contentment is, of course, to get out of self, compliment others more, see how you are dependent on them, thank them for the things that they do, acknowledging the Father and all his works, and coming out of that bubble of, you know, I need attention and I need, you know, arrested development is a huge grip on a lot of women because of, yes, what has happened to you, you know, the neglect of your mother and father, the tantrums of your youth, the neglect of the rod, sparing the rod. You know, all sorts of things have happened to cause you to still act like a young girl. And, you know, Pastor years ago had brought up a young girl, very young, maybe 12, and then brought up a woman who was much older, let's say 40, and then said, you guys are tricked by the appearance of the age of the flesh. When really, he points at the young one, she's 40 in the spirit, and then points at the old one and says, she's 2, right? Or however old she is. But visually in your mind, we can be deceived by, okay, she's 30, she's in her 20s, she's 18, she's 50. No, you're actually much younger, much more immature, much less content than you ought to be. So you seek Yah. You seek Yah day and night for change. You draw near unto him, he'll draw nigh unto you. All right. Oh, and let's not forget the fearful place that it is to criticize. You know, if Pastor likes Brussels sprouts, you don't have to. Come on. You know, if Pastor loves cheesecake and you don't, come on. You don't got to. If he says this gun is better and you don't believe it is, you know, it's not the things of the earth and the carnal things that we just have to agree. We're just, you know, as they accuse us, it's all so brainwashed, you know, because he talks about so many. If you love Joe Biden, you know, please don't be offended that he don't. You know what I mean? Let's get to the spiritual things. Let's not have any disagreements with the spiritual things. Let's not criticize and judge. You know, in the back of your mind, if I got a thought that's like, oh, man, Joe Biden, he's a pretty damn good man. And then here comes this video, and he's a jackass and a, right? And then you're off in some, you missed the whole video because you're criticizing and judging his decisions and why'd he do the video, and right? Let's look at that carnality. Let's get everything in balance. Let's gain. Let's move on. That's a good thought, my sister. Do this. When you listen to him and you catch something he says and you want it and your mind wants to criticize, your mind wants to judge, man, take note, but keep on listening. Like press past it. Just keep hearing. The devil don't want that. Listen to the truth. Find the truth in his speech, you know. Find Yah in his speech. Trust Yah in your leadership. You have to. I put my soul trust in my leaders. If I didn't, I wouldn't have been here. You know what I mean? That's everybody. That's the type of weight they carry. Y'all have no idea what that's like. It's very weighty to even have a show thrusting out all these answers and then people making moves based on what we say. That's so fearful. The package of fear that comes with talking on this scale is beyond words. And then multiply that to the chief, right, our pastor, who's over all men, right? And believe me, Yah has a beautiful way of getting in touch with all spirits of all mankind. And he has and will always get in touch with our shepherd, leading him with exactly what we need. And sometimes you need the rock of offense. Most of the time you do. You're heady, high-minded, stubborn. Right? Rebellious. What did the sister say? A year and a half? You know what I mean? And she ain't the only one. She'll tell you how stagnant that is. A year and a half you wasted not having the Holy Spirit? Right? And you don't think he's got to talk, like, right in your face? Yes. What if he just went to sleep on us? Where'd Pastor go? Fell off the face of the earth, you know? Let's not forget the great fear that we should have. And reverence, not respect of persons. Don't put him higher than he is. He's still just a man, but Yah's spirit in him, hallelujah, moves mountains. All right, so, and she gave examples, Jennifer, she said, like those who are ready for community or those who are ready for marriage. She's given a, a mindset that is maybe instantly criticizing and judging the decisions that Shepherd says, like who's ready for community, who's ready for marriage. I'll give you, and she says so on, to do certain things. If there's something that pops in my mind that I don't, agree with, 99.9 is all agreement. I keep going back to the natural stuff because it's Joe Biden or it's this or it's that. If there's ever something in my mind that I don't agree with, I just move on because it's that easy. It's not worth dwelling on, arguing about, contending, falling out the faith. I just submit myself just constantly. There's not a reason to even have that voice anyway, so it means nothing. You know what I mean? You fight too hard to keep your thoughts alive. Just lay it down. Heard it. So what? Right? Heard that, man. Lay it down, Mother Jennifer.
And, you know, Sister Ashley, you made a really good point. You just submit. All the other stuff don't matter. When there's a decision made by our shepherd or by our leaders, you know, when we first came to this ministry, I knew that Pastor Dow was my pastor, and he is forever my pastor, and there's no decision there's nothing, you know, there might be things that I don't understand right away, but I don't have to understand it. I trust that he hears from Yah, and that's all I need to know. And that's why my heart is settled. That's why I'm content, and I move forward, and I just obey. I don't have to figure it all out. I don't have to know, well, why is he thinking this way? Why did he make this decision? It doesn't matter. I know that the decisions that the shepherd makes, he's never fast on deciding anything. He uses wisdom. He uses discernment. You know, these are things that I understand and I know, and I just submit. So it's easy for me to follow because I have decided to just submit. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. And the things that pastor says or preaches or even, you know, puts on videos and stuff, a lot of the times, especially if he's fishing, it's drawing people. It's not keeping them, right? So the lover and keeper of your soul is doing that, right? All right, so when watching shepherd and leadership, this is question number 7. We only got 2 more. When watching shepherd, when watching leadership, and when watching even leadership's wives make decisions, how do we shake the mindset that says, well, I would have done it this way. Why is he or she still making those dumb mistakes? They should know better. I knew that was a bad decision. I knew that was going to happen. Hallelujah. I'm going to go to this book again. Jezebel refuses to admit guilt or wrongdoing. The strongest and most evident trait of a person with a Jezebel spirit is that he or she never admits guilt or wrongdoing. To accept responsibility would violate the person's insecurity and pride. When a Jezebel apologizes, it is never in true repentance or acknowledgement of a wrong. It's something like, I'm sorry your feelings were hurt. I'm sorry I spoke over your head. I'm sorry your face got in front of my fist. You'll never hear the person say, this is totally my fault. I take full responsibility. Always the victim. The person blames everything on someone else. He or she cannot be wrong ever. When something goes wrong, his or her response might be, look what they made me do. If a person admits any guilt, it's twisted around as someone else's fault. Blaming, 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 blaming. That's Eve's nature anyway. It's just a nature of the flesh. Blaming, blaming, blaming. A Jezebel spirit is also genderless. It can operate through a man or a woman. Let me read a few more tricks here. Selfishness and greed dominate those with a Jezebel spirit. They let others do all the work. Jezebel lies. Jezebel ignores people. Jezebel talks in confusion, withholds information, seizes information calling in her own, uses the information for power. Jezebel talks nonstop in a typical conversation. She does all the talking. Because of this, they are unable to receive input from anyone else, and you have no way of speaking into their lives, and all conversation with them is one-sided. Pause. I'm going to go back. I'm going to say this one more time. Because remember, all the talking going on in your mind, talk, she shouldn't, he, I knew it was going to go this way. They should have known better. Why is she doing it? Why are we making it? Why are we going this way? All that talking in your mind, like you may have gotten really good at suppressing it and never acting it out, but it's right there in your head constantly, constantly challenging. Yes, it's the tongue and your mind. So remember, they are unable to receive input from anyone. Page 88. You have no way of speaking into their lives. All conversation with them is one-sided. There's constant opposition in your head. So what do you do? Yield your servants to obey. Yield yourself to obey. Yield, 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 yield. But yield with repentance. Yield with godly sorrow. Yield with fervency and a desire to change. Like these questions, like this sister who really wants change, who really opposes and hates these things in her mind. Right? Mother Jennifer?
Very well put, Sister Ashley. I don't think I have anything. No, I do have one thing to add. I just wanted to say that understand and know, regardless of what your position is, you know, what your role is in the ministry, more than likely you'll be put in a situation where you'll need to make decisions and people are going to need to listen to you. And so you want to make sure that that you are yielding in your heart to the authorities that are over you, so that when you're put in a position that you don't constantly come up against opposition and you know, people who are combative, and they don't have to be combative with their mouths or anything like that. They can be combative in their heart, and you can tell when someone is not in agreement, because it completely changes the atmosphere. You know, it completely changes the mission. It completely changes the environment of the work being done. And you could actually be the one that's slowing down work because of what's in your heart. Sister Ashley?
Very, very good. Hallelujah. So, man, I don't have much to add. It seems like I should. We're wrapping up with the last question. But, you know, as far as, you know, sometimes there are opportunities for me to, you know, delegate or to, you know, lead projects or to make decisions. And you do know those who labor amongst you. You know those who have issues with you. You know those who are fighting and warring, trying to trust you, trying to submit. You know all that. As a person, it comes with a package. You know, your package is fighting to submit. Our package is fighting to love all those who oppose you. You get it? So everybody's in a fight. And I think if you continue to practice, you know, I've always said it on a community, you have a wonderful opportunity to get up every day, go see saints, be around saints all day, every day, be with them and not avoid them. That teaches you great discipline of your countenance, and it teaches you discipline of your body behavior, and it teaches you how to surrender no matter what's going on, no matter what just happened in prayer life or what just, you know, your battle or what you have on, have fighting within you. It teaches you, you know, to lay self down continually, leave self at home, you know, and to go serve. And so I think as someone who is following a leader's wife or a shepherd, leadership or whatever, consider that role given unto you and how you would want someone to surrender to you, you know, how you would want somebody to work with you and not against you. How would you want somebody to support you, you know? Consider that person as yourself and be Christ-like. And it really accomplishes the mission. And there's a thousand lessons that person still has to learn. And you're not the teacher of it. You know, let Yah do their perfect work in every person. And don't intercede in the Holy Spirit's path. You know, trying to run around and jump in front or correct in front of the thing that's going to happen. You know, so let Yah do what he's going to do with every person that you don't trust while you learn to trust. Get it? Hallelujah. So, last question. Doing what you are told to do, but inwardly kicking and screaming and pouting about it. Talk about it. Talk about it, Mother Jennifer. Doing what you are told to do, but inwardly kicking and screaming and pouting about it.
Quiet riot. That's what Pastor Dow calls a quiet riot, when inwardly you have chaos going on, but outwardly you appear to be doing as, you know, as what you're told to do. But again, it always comes out in your work. The position of the heart, the opposition of the heart, the chaotic communication of the heart is always going to come out in what you're being told to do. People are going to know that, you know, that you're kicking and screaming. And remember, you're the one that is feeling all this. It's not everybody else. So you're the one that is going to suffer the spiritual and the physical things that your body is going to have to go through when you don't deal with those things. So you may think that, you know, you're able to hide it. You may think that you're getting away with it, but the body does not lie. The body will definitely pay for it if you don't deal with it. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. And just food for thought, how long do you allow yourself to get by with behavior anyway? Generally speaking, you need to shorten that mess up, especially the older you get. Because, man, I would do anything, cross any wall, go through any mountain, right, to stop anything that is not Christ-like in me. immediately. I mean, you have to be so determined, that, and that comes from inside you. That doesn't come from the next guy, the next, you know, woman, the next sister. She's doing it, I'm doing it. Oh, man, you cultivate that. Like, you're not going to let yourself get stagnant and just continue to kick, scream, and pout about something over and over and over. Your resistance against it has to be proven before the courts of the Most High. Yeah. I consider all the angels observing me a lot. I think about that a lot. The angels writing stuff down, you know. The angels logging in your endurance, your weakness, how Satan can get over you, you know, whatever they're charged to do. And so I'll give this example. Years and years ago, I haven't really thought about this until now, years and years ago in my mind, I came from a go-getter lifestyle where everything was scheduled. You know, where you have a very, like, this is what you're doing each day. It didn't matter if you were clocking in or if you had some kind of game time and practice. Everything was very laid out. Everything was really structured. When I came here, I mentally accused our mother, your mother, Mother Carol, of, you know, I shared with y'all openly, I did not honor her initially. I honored her with my members, my flesh, my body. But in my mind, I accused her of being passive in her direction and authority over sisters. And it was because I'd come from a background where women were masculine. Women were, you know, as equal to every man. I'd never met a woman. You know what I mean? This woman is, okay, this woman has love. This woman has tenderness, discretion, and meekness. And now I am accusing it as passivity. You get it? I was wrong completely, wholeheartedly. And not knowing that her dynamic of leading women was one of discretion, not wanting to crush someone and allowing them to grow. And I'm wondering why she isn't running around smacking people. You know what I mean? Yeah, because you're going to want your leader's wife to be how you are. And that's so damn selfish in itself. Because y'all will lead that woman on how and who to be through the man that she's with, right? And through her own cultivated relationship with the father. So I hope that that helps y'all, because you come expecting a lot of things and y'all will put that rock of offense right in front of you. And to be a person that is constantly used as a rock of offense, it comes with a lot of things that, you know, you would never experience in your position. So be merciful. Be merciful by all means to that person. Hallelujah. Pretty good show, I think. Pretty good dialogue. Yes, any questions from the audience?
No, this is so
good. Hallelujah. There's lots and lots to reflect on. Thank y'all so much. Everybody in the chat room says amen and hallelujah. And I appreciate y'all, you know, giving your feedback in the chat room. Y'all have always been respectful, kept it low-key. I used to wonder were we supposed to have more comments? Are we supposed to have more going on in the chat room? You know, you can go over to like pastors' messages or anything going on in the ministry, and it's just like rapid fire communication. And then we come over here, and sometimes it's like every 10 minutes, you know, a big thank you or whatever. But I think it's just because you guys are listening, you're tuned in, and hallelujah, you're honoring. So I'm gonna go with that anyway. And I bless y'all. So the two books that I read from tonight is Discerning and Defeating the Ahab Spirit, and the other book is Destroying the Jezebel Spirit. I do reference them from time to time. It's probably not my last time that you'll hear them on the show. What else? Like I said, Straightway Truth Ministries, if we wrote books, right, if Pastor had a moment to write them, or any of the, you know, Teacher Shane, Elder Becker, those who are experienced in warfare, spiritual warfare, it would be incredible. But, if it was needed, y'all would lead us that way. I do believe, Mother Jennifer, that we are all exactly where we need to be in y'all. That's another thing you can tell yourself when you're on a community, when things should be going another way, things are looking this way, et cetera. You know, the down in the dumps kind of mentality, the murmuring and complaining starts to try to set in. It's Yah's land, it's Yah's community, it's Yah's people, and he is doing exactly what he's supposed to do. Encourage yourself and yield to him and let him have total possession and control over the people so that you'll have great peace and you won't have higher expectations of them than he can even produce as their creator. Hallelujah. Thanks for tuning in. Always, always, my Jennifer, end the show.
Remember, we've got the fall feast coming up, and just think about how much of a privilege it is that he has invited us to his feast and that he has allowed us to feast with him. So let's all just make sure that we are getting our hearts right, and it's an awesome, awesome opportunity to almost be upon the fall feast. Blessings, daughters of Zion.
I have to intercede. Bless you, Mother Jennifer. Shalom. You can go ahead and hang up. I want to end the show with this verse. I had this in my heart, 1 Peter 4:8. And the end, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, using hospitality one to another without grudging. And to use hospitality one to another, my sisters, without grudging, would mean without having a secret displeasure that is not openly spoken. Grumbling, murmuring, and grudging means a secret displeasure, not openly vowed, all right? So you get those grumblings, those murmurings, and those secret displeasures openly spoken to the Father. Get them covered by the blood. Move past. Be willing and ready to fall again and again on the rock of offense. And to the end, above all things, have fervent charity. Here we go, Sakina. Be ready to hit that button. Amongst yourselves, use hospitality. One to another without grudging. Shalom, shalom.
Jag är hebré från Sverige och jag älskar min straightway-stam och mina systrar. Finland.
Olen hebrealainen Suomesta ja rakastan Straightway-heimoani ja siskojani.
Israel.
Ani ivriya miYisrael, ohevet et shevet Straightway ve'achyotai.
I am a Hebrew from Trinidad and Tobago. I love my Straightway tribe and sisters.
Puerto Rico.
Soy hebrea de Puerto Rico y amo a la tribu de Straightway y también a mis hermanas.
Philippines.
Usako ka Hebrew gikan sa Cebu, Philippines. Gihigugman ako akong pamilya sa Straightway. Labi na ang mga igsuon na akong ababay.
Australia.
I am a Hebrew from Australia and I love my Straightway tribe and sisters.
Japan.
私は日本からのヘブライ人です。私はストライウェイ族と私の姉妹が大好きです。
Canada?
I am a Hebrew from Canada, and I love my Straightway tribe and sisters.